This is it. Our May fundraiser is ending on Friday, and it's your last chance to help us reach our goal this month. Revenue sources for newsrooms like ours are changing, and donations from you, our marketplace community of listeners, are more important than ever. Help us reach our May goal before Memorial Day weekend and fund public service journalism for all. Give now at marketplace.org/givetech.
How I learned to stop worrying and love the cliche about AI being like nuclear weapons. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. The movie Oppenheimer, about the making of the nuclear bomb, opened last week.
I don't know if we can be trusted with such a weapon. But we have no choice.
The subject matter has spurred an unavoidable comparison with, well, yes, Barbie, but also artificial intelligence. Leaders at companies like OpenAI and Anthropic have explicitly framed the risks of the developing technology in those terms, while historical accounts of the Manhattan Project have become required reading among some AI researchers. That's according to Dylan Matthews, a senior correspondent at Vox, who recently wrote about the parallels.
The main one, which might not be obvious, is sort of potential for harm. And I think now we look at nuclear weapons and we see just a wholly negative thing. But nuclear fission in terms of nuclear power was really new, too. That hadn't been done before. And so nuclear looked like a real sort of double-edged sword that could give and take. And I think AI has a lot of promise, but it also, we're creating a new sort of intelligent system that we don't really understand, and we don't know why it does the things it does. We basically just feed it data. And so I think there's both a broad fear of what happens when you have a really intelligent system that we don't fully know how to control, and a lot of more specific worries about what bad actors might be able to do with a system like that.
What are some of the important differences between these two fields?
So I think the most important difference is that AI is what economists would call a general purpose technology, and nuclear fission is a pretty specialized one. It changes the way we get energy. It doesn't change a whole lot else. AI seems like it's more like electricity or the telephone or the internet, where there's the immediate technology, but then everything else around it changes as that technology emerges. Nuclear really was not like that. And I think in some ways that makes AI harder to regulate, because the more useful it is, the less likely we're going to want to tamp it down on some things.
Overall, do you think this is an apt comparison?
I think it's a useful comparison in conveying just how fast things are moving and the sense of urgency. I think part of what's interesting about nuclear weapons as a scientific story is a lot of scientific progress happens very gradually over decades. We've recently had some breakthroughs in nuclear fission, for instance, and that's something that's taken since the 1950s to really get off the ground, and a lot of small incremental progress. The first experiments sort of showing that you could split a nucleus, nuclear fission, happened in late 1938, and less than 7 years later, we had nuclear weapons, and two cities had been destroyed using them. That's just an astonishing pace of scientific progress, and required a huge investment and manpower to get there. And I think what alarms people looking at AI is that it seems like things are proceeding really quickly, indeed almost exponentially, in a similar way that you might not be worried about what ChatGPT can do now, but there's reason to think that it's going to be twice as good in a year to 18 months. It will be twice as good as that a year to 18 months after that. And so I think there's a similar mindset and sort of emotional understanding of it as something that's moving really fast that we are going to struggle to get a handle on.
Another similarity seems to be the sort of paradoxical sense of concern about what this technology means for humanity by the very people who are working to advance it. Does that seem kind of similar to what we saw with the Manhattan Project?
Yes. I mean, I think this is in some ways the most important parallel. I think a lot of the people at OpenAI and Anthropic in particular, they came in with an initial motivation that this could be a very dangerous technology, and that's why they wanted to study it. That's a somewhat different motivation from that behind the Manhattan Project. But I think there was a lot of melancholy and self-doubt after the bomb was actually created and used not against Nazi Germany, but against Imperial Japan. There's a similar set of mixed feelings about what's going on. What's interesting is that in AI, they're happening all at once, whereas in nukes, it happened kind of sequentially. The people building these systems are simultaneously filled with trepidation about it.
When we see, you know, leaders in this field like Sam Altman, CEO of OpenAI, and other, you know, leading technologists coming out with statements like AI poses a risk of extinction similar to nuclear, I mean, this comparison would seem to sort of cast AI in a negative light, comparing it to something that killed, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. But is there any way in which these kinds of comparisons actually serve the AI industry?
So I've heard this argument from a few people that that it's a form of marketing for AI companies. Of I think one person put it as like, look at my hot rod. It goes so fast. You wouldn't want to be in such a fast and dangerous hot rod, would you? And I think the more serious answer to it is, you talk to people like Ilya Sutskever, who's the chief scientist at OpenAI. People like Dario and Daniela Modai at Anthropic, people like Rohan Shah at DeepMind, who does a lot of their alignment work. These are people who got into these questions in part out of concern about what these systems could do, and who've been writing for years and years and years about the dangers of a rogue, uncontrollable AI. And maybe they're playing a very long con where, you know, since they were undergrads, they were talking about how the system would be really dangerous so that they could later promote a company they work for. I find that a little far-fetched. I think they sincerely believe that these systems are very dangerous. Could they be wrong? Yeah, sure. We're in the very early stages, and at this point, we mostly have theory without a lot of evidence about what super advanced AI systems could look like. And you really need evidence to be sure about any of this. So I'm totally open to the idea that they're just mistaken. I find it a little harder to believe that they're just insincere.
What lessons does the development of nuclear weapons in the 1940s teach us about AI development today?
So I think one lesson is the need for what Oppenheimer called candor, or what his mentor Niels Bohr would call open science. That I think as soon as it became clear that the U.S. was going to have a nuclear weapon, Bohr started going to FDR and Winston Churchill and begging them to share as much as they could with Joseph Stalin. Because the more people knew about this, the less likely it was to develop into a harmful arms race due to sort of mutual mistrust and fear. And that sort of open and clear communication of what was happening was the best way to ensure safety. The parallel for AI is not necessarily sort of open source everything, put it on the internet with no guardrails. You know, Oppenheimer and Bohr were not saying that we should sort of print a how to make a nuclear bomb guide in the newspaper, but that there's a risk of similar arms race dynamics, and that those dynamics are exacerbated by mistrust, in particular mistrust between the US and Europe and China. And that a way to prevent that might be committing to more open sharing of who is buying what processors, who is training what kinds of models, ensuring that processors have auditing capability to make sure that countries can check on each other, that they're not developing dangerous models. And I think there's still a lot of promise in that broad approach for ensuring mutual safety and ensuring the kind of trust you need for international agreements that might be able to contain the worst possibilities of this technology.
Dylan Matthews at Vox. This whole AI and nuclear comparison actually kind of gets a little spooky. In an interview with the New York Times, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman apparently revealed that he shares a birthday with Robert Oppenheimer. In that same interview, he also compared his company to the Manhattan Project, saying the U.S. effort to build an atomic bomb during the Second World War had been, quote, a project on the scale of OpenAI, the level of ambition we aspire to. By the way, that historical account of the Manhattan Project we mentioned so many people in the AI world are reading, it's The Making of the Atomic Bomb by Richard Rhodes. In our conversation, Dylan mentioned visiting the offices of the company Anthropic and seeing a copy of it on a coffee table and an employee with an Oppenheimer sticker on his laptop. The Atlantic recently interviewed Rhodes about the popularity and resonance of his book more than 35 years after it was published. I have to admit, it's on my bedside table too, and I was struck by a quote from Oppenheimer that opens the book. It is a profound and necessary truth that the deep things in science are not found because they are useful. They are found because it was possible to find them. We've got links to all those stories and to Dylan Matthews' reporting for Vox on our website, marketplacetech.org. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey, everyone. It's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.